Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Well, let me ask you a question. Should pastors be entrepreneurs? That is the question today. And I have a pastor who's an entrepreneur with me, Tony Colson. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm awesome. How are you?
Hey, thrilled to be here. And this is a really big topic. In fact, you and I did some work together on this a few years ago, pastorpreneur. And listen, you know, this has been a deep passion of mine talking about this, but I feel like sometimes churches aren't ready for this. Pastors aren't ready for this. Why do you think there's this disconnect between pastors and entrepreneurship?
I think it's a misunderstanding of really the way God intends for us to do life. We fragment life into categories rather than living as a whole person as He created us.
Yeah. And listen, I know we're live and there's going to be people who are going to watch this and people who share it, people who tag their pastors as well. But listen, some people would even go so far as to say that business, money, entrepreneurship is diametrically opposed to pastors. I mean, I remember sitting in meetings and sometimes things would get a little hot around the church meetings and people would say, wait, you know, it sounds like we're starting to go in a business direction. And I feel like that's probably something I vehemently like am opposed to, where what? The moment you start talking vision, mission, outcomes, the moment you start talking about deliverables, I mean, it's now not biblical. What do you think about that, Tony?
I think exactly. I believe, again, it's this misunderstanding that we as a church and leaders have adopted of somehow we're not supposed to be financially astute, but we're just supposed to be in tune with the Spirit as if they are two different things. And I was talking with someone just a day or two ago, and the challenge is there's so many churches that struggle financially. And really, of all of the organizations and entity in the world, shouldn't it be the church that is the most financially viable?
That's good. That's good. Listen, man, I know we're going to ruffle some feathers here, but I really have a lot of thoughts about this. And I know you do, Tony, as well. I agree. Like, you look at heaven, you look at all the descriptions of glory that God has created. God doesn't say, you know what? I'm going to make heaven. I'm going to make it look like junk, and it's not going to be valuable and it's going to be forgettable. I mean, the moment you see anything that God created in the Old Testament, you know, with the temple, and I mean, it is excellent. It is rich. And yet there is this opposition where I'm going to tell you what, Tony, I feel like sometimes, you know, in the Christian world, we lower our standards just even in terms of accountability, in terms of value creation. Unfortunately, I heard one guy at a conference one time, and he was not a Christian, and he was setting up his sound system, and I was just trying to make conversation with him. And he said to me, I'll tell you what, man, anytime somebody uses the word brother, I tell them to pay me up front. And I was like, dang. I thought, wow, you know. And again, this guy wasn't a believer, but he said he had gotten that turned off by the church that he required his money up front. What do you think about that, Tony?
This concept you just said as far as the value creation, I've been in so many churches that the culture, the expression is so less than what we walk into in, let's just say, a Starbucks or a Target, or those are some great names that really create some controversy, right?
Right.
But why is it that whenever we walk into a church, the things are done, like you said, less than excellent.
And not all churches.
Not all churches. No. Not at all.
Yeah, like our friend, my pastor, Dean Folks, of Life Point Church in Ohio. I mean, that's actually one of the things that I was impressed about. I'm like, wow. You know, security is trained. The church, yes. The people who care for the kids are trained. You know, like you start looking and you're like, wow, this thing is led really well. And I know you're a pastor. Your church is led really well. I think that actually draws people to God. I know some people might be like, what? But, you know, Jesus wasn't being like, you know, let's make the worst wine. You know what I'm talking about? Like, think about that miracle. Yeah, I mean, exactly. People thought, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's another thing to say about Jesus. Who wanted to hang around him?
Mm.
Tax collectors, sinners. Now, if he was this dull, mean, or just unimpressive person,
yeah,
the world wouldn't want to hang around him.
Mm.
And so I do think it's not, like you said, there's churches out there that do have it right, I believe, but yeah, there is this mindset, there's this expectation that I believe that is lower than what people put on their expectations in the world.
Yeah.
Like the bathrooms that you go into churches, do we think the same as we do when we go into a restaurant? And this is regards to our volunteers. And I guess the question, why are we asking all these questions as it relates to a pastorpreneur or a pastor that's entrepreneurial? And I think that it has to do with the mindset, and it has to do with this concept of being able to resource the vision that God's put in our lives. But if we approach it as a less than mentality, if we approach it as this, we don't have enough mentality, so it's not expected of us.
Yeah.
Then we produce something that is less than the glory that God wants to be expressed by his image in the earth.
Yeah. And of course you can have churches that have all the bells and whistles and excellence and are missing the dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about both and. Like, right, you can have excellence in terms of, you know, like I just finished Elon Musk's book, and as a Christian, I read that and I'm like, I need to step it up, man. And not that I'm trying to get people on Mars or something, but I thought, if this guy has this much vision, you know, about things that really aren't eternal, what in the world am I doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, I got inspired big time because I'm thinking like he's thinking way bigger. And you look at the scriptures and people like Nehemiah and people like Esther and people like, you know, David and all these people had big vision. And I think big vision attracts big thinkers. Like, we call it David's mighty men. Like, he attracted really big leaders who said, oh, wow, you're going to a big place. I want to come on. Do you think that maybe that's why the church couldn't be not attracting big time entrepreneurs, is they're thinking too small?
Definitely. And I, just to go back to when I first met you, Carrie, and the pastor that I was, right? So I have this vision that I want to write a book, and I meet you with a poverty mindset.
Mm.
And it's a poverty mindset that was born out of the culture of the church that I grew up in.
Yep.
And so with that, there was this lack mentality. I never have enough. I don't deserve more. There's just this value loss when I walk into the building. And you began to reshape my understanding of who I was as a person and the value of the gifts and the skills that are inside of me.
Yeah.
And so that's really what burdens me as it relates to the way we as leaders do church today. We come in as a liability to the church.
Mm.
Rather than as a resource. What if the pastors were the highest givers in the church? What if we were the ones who were resourcing the church financially, not just gift or skill mix? And that's really the burden that I have as I have began to shift into this entrepreneurial mindset is I want to be able to completely not need a salary from the church so that the church can take that those funds and then better finance the expansion of the kingdom. Like you were saying, Elon's talking about putting people on the moon or the moon. We're talking about putting people in heaven.
Ah, well, that's good. That's good. That's good. No, you are right. And I did meet you early on. And listen, the way that I overcame a poverty mindset is, listen, I had to work through a lot of shame. I had to work through a lot of small thinking, a lot of just things that were like, let's take the woman who breaks the alabaster box and anoints Jesus's feet. If you have a scarcity mindset and you think, you know, I can never get this back again, you're going to be stunted in your giving. She says, listen, Jesus is worth everything. I'm going to give it all. The widow, I'm going to give it all. Like, there's this faith that happens, I think, as well. And listen, I'm an entrepreneur. I quote left the pastorate. You are still an entrepreneur and still a pastor, but Tony, I don't know. Tell us more on this topic. Why do you think the church needs pastors who think like entrepreneurs?
Well, for instance, I heard something you said just recently about competing versus collaboration.
Mm.
How many of us as pastors do life competing with the other pastors in the city? We can't even get together because we're afraid they're going to take something from us.
Interesting.
But if we came in full,
yeah.
If we're connected to a source that doesn't run out, right?
Yeah.
Then this competitive posture shifts and it changes into a collaborative effort to build kingdom together.
Mm.
And you don't do that when you're empty.
Yeah.
You don't do that when you're afraid of loss.
Yeah.
And what you said during that, you were sitting on a couch or something and you were talking about that shift in mindset. And I believe that's why it's so important for this entrepreneurial mind to come into the heart of the pastor is because it shifts the way you do life and ministry. And as you said, you've taught me also show up, filled up. We don't enter into the experience empty and grabbing and desperate.
Yeah,
we have what we need already, so we're not dependent on anyone, and we're not needy of anyone. And I believe that's what made Paul, if we want to talk about a pastorpreneur, Paul as a tent maker and his ability to say, I don't need your money. So your money isn't going to sway what I say.
Yeah.
Right?
Ooh, it created freedom for him.
Correct. And that's really what we should be able to do as pastors who are speaking for God, our words should not be connected to a dollar.
Ah, and let's face it. If we really get in to some pastors' minds, they're living in fear. In other words, well, crud, I got to preach on Sunday, but I also know there's people who give, and the people who give might not be happy with what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
And so, what do you got?
Well, my salary is connected to paying for my kids.
Yeah.
You know, providing food for them. So it really does become a tension.
Yeah.
As godly as we want us to make it sound and as spiritual as we are, that's life. And if we didn't have that constraint, how much more powerful would the church be?
Yeah. But listen, I even feel that freedom at Cedarville. Like, in other words, I love my fellow colleagues. They're amazing professors. And a lot of these professors, it's their only job. Hmm. So the professors, you know, have to, you know, let's just be straight up. We're being real here. You know, the professors have to teach and worry about what the students are going to think. I can go in there and say, listen, folks, I'm here because I want to be. In fact, it's actually not paying my hourly rate to be here, but I'm here because I care about you. I want to, and I want to invest in you. Now, what if I wasn't taking any salary? Oh my gosh. Now that's not true, but that would be like even more where I would have no attachment. But you're right. When people are unattached, it brings like a different credibility. You know what I'm saying? What do you think?
It's a boldness to be able to operate with freedom with the assignment.
Yeah.
In my home city in Knoxville, Tennessee, the city used to be controlled by a group of about 8 men.
Wow.
And they controlled how the city went, what the city invested in, the progress that it made or it didn't make. And we elected a mayor who was a part of a probably billionaire family. Well, he took like a dollar salary.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, he's not controlled by these 8 men. And he's now leading the city in a different way.
Wow, that's powerful.
And that's so powerful. What if the church leaders did the same thing? What if we were able to operate in that same kind of freedom and boldness to go after the assignment that God's given us to expand the kingdom?
And there are pastors who... I've heard a story about this one time. It was, in fact, I think it was a gentleman named TK shared this story with me. He said, listen, my pastor had so much faith in God that when he candidated at this church and the church said, we'll take you, we want you. And then he said, what do we pay you? And then the pastor said, you all figure that out. I'm fine with whatever. And I was like, wow.
That's
so, I mean, amazing. So what I hear that saying is like his confidence isn't in the other people. Like you can actually draw a salary from a place, but you can be unattached and realize that God will care for you regardless. Now let's talk about charging for what you're worth. So, you know, part of the scarcity mindset can be that you just, you're scared to charge for anything. And I think at the beginning, I was scared to charge for anything because you grow up as a pastor's kid, as a social worker's kid, Christians, my mom worked at Salvation Army, and you get to the point where it's like, you're just supposed to give everything away for free.
Right.
And what I realized, Tony, is you're actually robbing your future clients from transformation, because if they're not willing to pay anything, let's take the words of Jesus, where your treasure is, your heart is. And if you're not putting any treasure in the courses Tony's creating, the books, the coaching, maybe, just maybe, your heart won't be in it either. What do you think about that?
I think that's important as well, as like the investment that is required. Jesus had different conversations with the crowd than he did with those who came close.
Mm.
And the ones that he brought close, maybe it wasn't money, but there was an investment that they had to make.
Mm.
Right? Maybe that investment was time. Maybe that investment was serving in some capacity.
The guy says, I got to bury my mom and dad first. Nope. You know, I gotta go do this. Nope. Right. So maybe it was priorities.
Right. You didn't move from the crowd to the
core
one, right? Yeah. And you can say what you want. Jesus talked differently to the ones close to him than he did the crowd.
Yeah.
Jesus loved everybody the same. Well, yeah, he loved everybody the same, but he didn't treat everybody the same.
Interesting. Wow. And we know that because he had, you know, the 500 he appeared to after the resurrection. He sent the 72 out. He had the 12. Then he had three, the inner circle. Then he had John, his beloved. So right. I think people aren't really comfortable with that.
I would agree. I would agree. And there again, you have the parables, the secrets that he didn't reveal to everybody.
Wow. Wow. So I see, you know, you and I chatted before, like, and you came up with some pretty good talking points. But how does being an entrepreneur benefit the church more than financially? But like, why do you think entrepreneurial thinking benefits the church?
I think that it's just, again, it's a posture that gives a tremendous amount of freedom to the leader. And so it's the way you do life. It's the way you lead people. And whenever you're not leading with a poverty mindset, when you're not leading with a competing mindset, it changes everything. It changes the way you walk into the building. It changes the way you relate to individuals. And I believe that it creates a power, a potency for the church that we're missing in our world today. The world should be looking to the church for answers.
Wow.
They should be looking to us for resources. And we are strapped. We don't have enough money. We're a church that we take advantage of this Google grant.
Say that again.
Have you heard of the Google grant? So no. Google offers nonprofits a $10,000 a month grant to do advertising.
What?
Completely free. No strings attached, in the sense of it doesn't cost the church anything.
Wow.
So what a great opportunity that churches can take advantage of that, right? And so whenever you're an entrepreneur, you're looking at outside the box. You're looking at ways to create something out of nothing. You're looking at ways to empower the body to become this expression of God in the earth that the world looks to and they say, we need that.
That's pretty powerful. Yeah. And you see, you know, I hear people, I'm not going to name them, but they're big people, you know, big people that, you know, are not believers. And they're like given, you know, one of them's given over 1 million meals away to hungry people. And, you know, we see people that are maybe not Christ followers, but they're doing incredible work, and we don't know their hearts. We don't know their motives, but I think entrepreneurship, I mean, you look at some of the people who even funded Jesus's ministry, and they showcase them in the Chosen series. You know, people that were tied to government, people that were tied to entrepreneurs, and they're funding the ministry of Jesus. That's pretty powerful. And again, Jesus wasn't tied to them. His confidence was in his Father, but he was benefiting from entrepreneurship. There's a ministry called Faith Driven Entrepreneur. I think there is this big rise, Tony, that at least I'm seeing, that Christian entrepreneurs is on the rise. What do you think about that?
I would agree. And I think it's so helpful. the scripture that's coming to my mind is Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. So God gives talents to every person. And of course, you know, in that context, it's a currency. But in our context, as we're talking about, it's skills, it's gifts, it's resources. And so he places that into the hand of the believer. And it is then completely up to them on what they do with it. What we do often is we ask God continually, desperately, God bless what I have. God, give me increase. What if he's not coming back to give you increase? He's coming back to hold you accountable for what he gave you.
And then again,
proportionally to how they increased it was how they were blessed.
Yeah.
And so when we begin to think this way, it really begins to transition us out of that poverty mindset. And we begin to live out of the resources that God has Number one, put in our DNA. We're created to increase. We're created with that in our divine DNA. At the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, when he created the first man, he said, he blessed them, and he said he blessed them to be fruitful. Mm. Now, that's my book, and this is the principles behind that book. And yeah. So in our DNA, the way that he created humanity, he created us to bring increase, to be fruitful, to steward a domain. And when we begin to be restored, now remember that it says that he created us in his image. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when we do those things that the original man and woman were supposed to do, that yeah. that is the best expression of his image. When we walk in blessing, when we walk in fruitfulness, when we walk in healthy relationships, when we walk in victory, and when we walk in stewarding a purpose or a domain, when yeah. we do those things well, that expresses his image in the earth, and he gets glory for it. And so I believe that that's what God's wanting us as pastors to model, to emulate. Like, what did Paul say? Imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Right.
And Paul had the opportunity to say, I don't have to. I was looking at it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, is it just Paul and Barnabas? Is it just us that don't get the rights of everybody else? But then he says this, I don't take the right. Mm. Because it's the right thing for churches to pay pastors.
Sure.
That is the right thing. But Paul is saying, because of the structure that I've built in my life, I don't have to have it. Mm. And therefore, my relationship with you is different.
Wow. Wow, that's powerful. Listen, I know we got 2 minutes left. I'm pushing your website out because I know the work you do. You're an amazing coach. You do consulting. You run masterminds. You're certified on a bunch of content to bring transformation to people. So, you know, what if people are saying, man, I'm getting this. Maybe I have a poverty mindset. I need to work with Tony to get freed up in some areas. Maybe I don't know my divine DNA. Did God make me, you know, with some gifts? Of course, speaking as well. But what would you tell people? How can they get a hold of you?
They can go to my website, tonycolson.com, or if you want to set up an appointment with me, tonycolson.com/appointment.
Yeah.
And I'd love to connect with you, look at ways that maybe I could help serve you. I would love to get you into a place to where you're thriving, and that yeah. you're able to walk with a different posture as you go and lead the people of God.
And listen, you're on fire. I mean, I see your daughter's books to my right. I see your books to your left. I see people on Facebook that are saying, thank you for your coaching, Tony. Your buddy and mine, Jimmy Z, you know, is here. So I just awesome. Really have been excited, Tony, by you. You know, our company's hired you because you provide different services, and we're just proud of you for everything you're doing, man.
Well, I'm honored to be here with you, and you are a significant part of my life and getting me out of that poverty mindset. So thank you for your leadership. Thank you for modeling just a different way to live.
You got it, my friend. Be a soul on fire. Follow Tony, and folks, think about this concept, because I think God does want to set you free, and he wants more entrepreneurships unleashed in the world. Make it a great day. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Cary Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.